feature.
We like to go into the future before we go into the past on Nightlife. And tonight we're looking at the future of what we may find under the water. Could we one day have a Google Map-like familiarity with the vastly uncharted and almost always unseen ocean floor? A Melbourne startup has unveiled a world first in submarine technology to find out what lies beneath the ocean waves. UAM Tech co-founders are Ben Fleming and Sean Taylor, and they join us from our Melbourne studios. Hello to both of you.
Sarah.
Hello. Now, how much do we know so far about the ocean floor?
Very little, actually. So out of we know about 5% of 70, the water holds about 71% of the Earth. So yeah, we know about 95% we don't know.
95%. Got no idea what's down there.
Nope.
Right. I thought we kind of have a rough idea of what it's, where its mountains are and valleys, though, don't we?
So everything's that we're doing is actually through imagery. To be able to actually show via imagery what is on our ocean floors and around a lot of the water water bodies of our planet, rather than just blasting sonar from the top of it.
Yeah, so at the moment, how does the sonar mapping of the ocean floor work? They drag a sonar behind a boat, yeah?
Yes, correct. There's a few different ways they work. They do have some that go off on their own for a little bit, but they have to be near a boat. But yeah, and then it just blasts sonar down, which is actually really bad for the environment.
Yeah. How's that bad? Is that, that's what they worry about whales hearing? Because it makes the ocean very noisy for marine life.
Yeah, so a lot of whales and dolphins and stuff, that's what it interrupts with their migration.
Right.
And what we're doing is sort of removing that and putting an imagery-based system so that way we're not interrupting any of the marine life and also giving that visual aspect as to what is down there.
Mm-hmm. So tell us here a little bit more about that technology you've developed, which does not use sonar. What does it use?
22 cameras and a very smart algorithm to stitch those camera feeds together into giving you a single 360 image every time it snaps a picture, right, which is about every 2 meters.
It looks like one of those old marine, you know, underwater bombs. It's sort of like this round thing with lots of eyes on it, yeah?
It's a cross between that and a futuristic spaceship is how we can best describe it.
Yeah, funny looking thing. We might have to put a photo on our website. So how close to the bottom of the ocean floor can it go?
So we'll be sitting about 2 meters above the ocean floor. That way we're not interrupting any of the marine life that might be down there, and also any of the sediment and lifting all that off the ground, so we can still get the imagery and a lot of the sensors in there can work off that level as well.
Right, and I'm assuming you'll need lights on it.
It has lights, yeah, but we actually coordinate the light flashes with the camera when the cameras take pictures.
Right, so it'll be having some light, and then they'll take the photo, and then this will be operated on a battery, and then it'll come back to base, and then you can download the photos.
Yeah, so it sort of works like the best sort of analogy we can give is like a robo vacuum cleaner that most people have in their homes. When it knows that it needs to come back for recharging, it comes back to base. We can charge it, gather up the data, and on a 2-hour charge, we get 40 hours worth of life.
40 hours. So it's AI, really, it's using, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And you've done testing on this on Port Phillip Bay. What have you seen under Port Phillip Bay?
So we've done a couple of tests in the bays and out in the little bit of the ocean area. We've seen a bit of the ocean floor through one of the areas we went through with one of the test rigs. We actually got to see a lot of the starfish crawling around, which was a fantastic sight. But we're hoping that going forward, getting some of the permissions that we now need to have it untethered and running by itself, we'll be able to actually see a lot more.
Right. And we've heard, you know, it was big news, I think it was about a year ago, when James Cameron went to the deepest part of the ocean floor and got to take photos down there. So how does this compare to what he's done with in terms of going to a certain spot?
Yeah, so basically what he did is he went down to a very specific point. And if you look at the Mariana Trench, everybody thinks, oh, it's this specific point. It's actually like, I think, 1,300 miles long or something. It's ridiculously long. So we know a single point in the Mariana Trench. We don't really know what's really down there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're going to allow everyone using this technology to actually become their own discoverer so they can all get down there and actually see it without getting wet.
And yeah, you don't need exploring. To have James Cameron's deep pockets to be able to go down
exactly.
there. So what, while these are roaming about, say they're mapping a certain part, people will be able to log in and see what photos they're taking, will they?
Well, basically when they finish a cycle, say 40 hours, when they come up, when they upload that feed into our servers, and our servers automatically stitch it and then set it on top of a map. And then people can just go on to submapping, which is the child side of UAM tech, and see it for themselves.
Right.
And that's like our water view, which is like the Google Street View. So you'll be able to drop into that location and see exactly what's there and go in and explore.
Right. So it will be like Google Maps, but of the ocean.
Correct.
Yeah.
Incredible. And why is it important for us to see the ocean floor and to know what's down there? I mean, I do know when they went down to the trench, they found a plastic bag. So it's good that we know the kind of state of the pollution. But what else will we be able to find out?
It's more about what won't we find out. So if we can live better and in better harmony with our planet, being able to learn how things are working down there, what new marine life we don't know about, what new plant life we don't know about, being able to discover that. We're exploring so much off our planet, but we haven't started to explore deep down into our planets yet.
Yeah, and it's also the analytics. So we go down with a camera once in, the Great Barrier Reef, and we go, oh, this isn't good. The corals are bleaching. Yeah. And we go, okay, well, we know there's something to do with starfish, but we have very little analytics over time. We could actually send them and start, going around in circles, and we can get analytics every day, every week, every month until we know exactly what's changing down there. And then only when we know what's changing can we fix it.
Mm. But is there a possibility you could find new species we don't even know about? Oh. I mean,
anyone could discover a new species. By being able to give this technology out to the general public, it means that everyone can be their own discoverer. People can look to the sky and have an asteroid named after them, one or new species of fish or a new marine life or plant life all around the world.
Yeah, and every time they send down one of those submarines, the ones that can go really deep, and they do it once a month or something, they always find new life every single time.
Do they? Right.
Yep.
How great would it be for someone to discover the Loch Ness Monster and where it really is?
No, he's in a lock. He's
we can still get in there. We're not just doing oceans.
Body.
We're
not just
all
ocean.
Water bodies.
Okay, I think you need to go to Loch Ness and find out once and for all. I just keep thinking of the goodies with what they did with the Loch Ness Monster. UAM Tech co-founders Ben Fleming and Sean Taylor are with me. They're developing a technology that could give us like a familiarity with the uncharted and unseen ocean floor. What about shipwrecks? I'm imagining be useful for that too.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely.
There'd be a lot that we don't know that we've never seen. They've just found a whole area with, 20 or 30 ships. They're everywhere. We're going to find so much stuff we have no idea.
A lot of our history, the world's history, and being able to discover that and find how we did travel the world, what was being transported, how it was being transported, hopefully learning from our past as well.
Mm. What about the shipwreck bounty, though? You can see how this will get used in terms of people thinking, okay.
Well, it'll be open. So, you could be the first one to find that shipwreck. So,
The next troubling bit will be trying to get down there.
Yeah.
To be able to grab it. might discover it, but getting down there will be the next tricky bit.
Right, yeah. You need a bit of coin, and you need your own bounty to be able to do that, I would imagine.
Yep.
Are mining companies, though, going to be closely watching what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm sure. And we'd actually make it a lot safer because they're going to mine, period. They're just going to do it. And they blast sonar, and it's not the safest way for the environment the way they currently do it. And we would actually identify hotspots for them just by using, the camera feed.
And being able to be a bit of a deterrent from if they were going to mine in a certain area where something was, being able to say it's actually safer and more environmentally friendly to move and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So looking at it from the sort of different aspect.
Mm. Yeah. And laying of cables, I'm imagining it'd be...
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. Why just drop a cable? Why not actually find out what's down there?
What's down there? Mm. Well, because remember, sonar is just finding out the depth. So they don't actually see what life is down there when they blast it with sonar. They just see how deep it is.
Mm. But what about defense applications for this? Have you had interest from the military?
We haven't had any interest. We've had people say that they can put us in touch with people, but I guess it's more the scientific exploration behind it. So our water temperatures and everything, that's what we've more been approached for from those areas so far.
Right, but there might be some areas you're not allowed to go, I'm imagining, around some countries.
100%.
Absolutely.
You'd be finding some submarines.
even in Australia, there's every state and territory has its own set of rules and regulations, so we have to work with all sorts of
So there'll be some areas like on Google Maps that are not mapped, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Correct.
And that would make sense. And what are the environmental... I mean, you said it's a lot better than sonar because it doesn't have that boom and you know, all the implications that that has for the ocean and for whales and dolphins. But if you've got flashes of light and you've got... you'd need quite a few of them, I understand. What are the environmental impacts of what you're looking at?
So we're working with an environmental organisation in Melbourne at the moment, going through all those sort of implications that are on the subs. So far, we're getting the green tick from everything that we've been approached with. We're also looking at the materials that we use, and we're a lot safer than even boats going in the water. We don't put anything back into the water or take anything out of the water other than the water itself. So it's not like a boat sitting out there with an engine on the back pumping fuel through. Because it is all electric, we're actually not putting anything back into the waters.
All right. So as you said, this information will be available if it comes off. Everyone will be able to see it. They'll be able to log in and look at the ocean floor and watch it and check out what you can see down there. It'll be open information. What does it need to get going? What are you looking at here to make this a reality?
Well, we've got another 3 months right now of testing. So the engineers are working through... the current version is fully operational, so the guys are just working on some refining parts. And then, 3 to 6 months, we'll probably start releasing images.
So that way we can build our swarm. It works as a swarm technology, so not just obviously one 1.2-metre sub working to do the entire world. Otherwise, in about 700 years, we'll start releasing the images. So it's about building our swarm to be able to work and do an area in the time that we need it done.
So how many would be in a swarm?
Well, if we wanted to do Port Phillip Bay, just as an example, say we wanted to do it in about 100 days, we need about 40 of them working together. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on, you know, the area that we're doing, the time constraints, if there are any that we're doing, and what we're trying to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the first job you need to do is the Malaysian plane.
Yes, if we would have been involved when the black box was still pinging and we had enough in the water, we definitely could have helped narrow it down. Will the subs come across it eventually? Most likely, but it's not something that we could actively target right now.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and
we need
it can
a
go
lot in the water as well.
You need a lot, and over a vast area because they're not exactly sure, obviously, where it is.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's why if things like that happen again and these subs are out there in the water, they can actually bring down the search location area. So rather than going thousands of kilometres, you can bring it down to hundreds or tens of kilometres to be able to actually search the waters.
How deep can it go?
Right now we max out at about 2 kilometres, 1.2 to 2 kilometres, that we pressure tested that. We've limited to 300 metres right now, just because that's the length of our tether. But we're shooting for about 3.5 miles.
Right. Someone, Adam, wants to know on the text line, have you explored the sewer outfalls under the water and mapped them?
No, not yet. So we only had our world release, a week ago.
Right.
At Seabed in Sydney.
You don't want your shiny brand new machines getting covered in sewage, do you?
No.
We have been approached to locate runoff and pollution. And so we did investigate that, and we can do that.
Yeah, there could be so many uses for them, really, in terms of that.
There's endless applications that they could be used for. And because it's not just for our oceans, it is for all our water bodies. We can look at our dams and our drinking waters, seeing how the walls are being retained and what pollutions are sort of coming into there.
Yeah.
There's a whole heap of exploratory areas, there's caves, there's everything that we can't currently get into.
I think everybody that talks to us gives us more.
Yeah.
More like, ideas. Yeah, okay. Well, remember the Thai boys and the cave rescue in getting through? Yeah. That was very murky, though. That might have been hard to find anything, I suppose.
Murky is fine. We do have sonars as a backup. So if we did get lost, we can turn them on just to get out of trouble. We just don't use them as anything primary.
And they work at a very low level. range.
Yeah, we don't blast the sonar. It's very, very light.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's not controlled by anyone back on a computer on a ship or something. It's totally intuitive and like the vacuum cleaner knows where to go and come back.
Yeah, yep.
Right. Hmm. And someone says, what if they don't come back up? What happens then? Are they
there are things built into them. So depending on if anything does happen to them, they'll ping their location to us and they will either sink and become a rock or they will come up and come straight up to us.
Which we hope they don't sink because we do have backup systems. So they do switch over to second onboard computers. There's a whole bunch of backup stuff the engineer put in, so they can come back up and we can find them.
Right. And I just want to ask you from both of you, what gave you this idea? You come from a tech background.
Yep.
What set you on this path to map the ocean floor?
It begins with Sean's weird and wonderful mind. If anyone can ever answer this, I would love to hear it.
Right.
But it pretty much starts with Sean and the way that his mind thinks and trying to sort of change the world.
All right, take us into your unknowable mind, Sean.
Oh,
as unknowable
me.
As the ocean floor. Let's try and just quickly understand before we finish.
Yeah. Well, I'm a firm believer that we shouldn't be held back if we have, you know, the ability to do something. And I was thinking maybe 5 years ago that we're really close with the tech. Why haven't we done that? And I just thought it wasn't commercially viable to do it at the time. Maybe there weren't enough applications. Ben actually opened me up to the commercial applications more than I was aware. I just thought it needed to be done. And I didn't want to tell the next generations that, yes, we could have done that, but instead we're going to tell you, like we've been telling everybody for hundreds of years, that we only know 95% of the ocean. So I just didn't think it was fair.
Mm. Is there an underwater technology race about to start?
Yeah, definitely. There was a big thing, I think, in the New York Times that the next $1.5 trillion industry is going to be the ocean. It's going to be very, very big. And hopefully with our technology, it'll also be safe.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
UAM Tech co-founders Ben Fleming and Sean Taylor there with their technology that could see us mapping the ocean floor. Imagine what we'd find down there. I want to see some of those great creatures that swim into view in terms of on the camera.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.